Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Oil is at $140 a barrel. The Dow is down more than 350 points today alone to its lowest level this year. This June will be the worst June for the stock market since the Great Depression.
New York City has a budget, but what kind of budget is it? And should, as Bob Henley seemed to suggest in his spot, the entire city of New York be depressed about what's in the details? Bob Henley joins us in studio. He's been working through the night to unpack the details of this budget. Bob, what are the key items in this budget that city residents should be aware of?
I think the fact that the city council did manage to get $129 million back in the budget that were education cuts. The administration, Michael Bloomberg, stood tough and wouldn't agree to any additional tax revenues like the 1% hike in hotel tax that surfaced towards the end of the negotiations. And also, they're going to get a second year of the 7% property tax reduction. And once again, also the $400 rebate for homeowners.
Let's talk about those schools cuts. It was a proposed $350 million cut from what? From last year's budget?
From the total, what was anticipated when you added all the additional new state aid. And one of the things that was worked out here was a definition of what is essential classroom resource versus central administration. And that seems to have been worked out. Clearly, Speaker Quinn, even in these kind of slow economic times, wants this to be a down payment on her legacy that she kept the promise. The problem is that this, if you will, the property tax cut and the education restoration came on the back of key council priorities, local senior citizen centers, the things that historically the council has been like underdog to the rescue in the 11th hour of the budget. Those folks were widely disappointed last night and will be as they get to get the details.
Let's talk a little bit more about that. The educational advocates, Randy Weingarten of the Teachers Union, were some of the most vocal opponents to the proposed budget cuts. And there was a particular feeling of disappointment in the wake of this big optimism that there was going to be all this new money coming to New York to settle the education lawsuit. What are those people saying now about this budget?
I think the education people feel like they're the big winners here. The problem is that you have circumstances like NYCHA, New York City's problematic housing authority, that, you know, some 175,000 different units, huge sprawling complexes, 350 complexes. Many working class people depend on these places to live. It has been underfunded by the federal government. It's at a really difficult time now. It looks like they're going to have to close some of the senior centers, some of the youth centers. So that's where you're going to find a problem. And also add to this, there are so many local nonprofits that do things that are important to the quality of life, particularly for senior New Yorkers, the yoga instructor, the gas that goes in the Meals on Wheels truck. Those are the kinds of things that are going to be squeezed now, as you know. And we have to keep in mind, we're in some uncharted economic territory here. $140 oil, some economists estimate there's a 50% speculation premium tax in that. And at the same time, a decline in Wall Street that we haven't seen in quite a long time. You know, that's the kind of thing where New York City is 25% to 20% of its revenue comes from Wall Street. So clearly, as diversified as Michael Bloomberg tried to make the economy, that's really the underlying circumstance. That's a landscape nobody can change.
I remember the first budget after 9/11, and Mayor Bloomberg kind of split the difference, did a lot of stuff that he didn't like doing, had to have some revenue enhancers, as they say, a.k.a. tax raises. They had to borrow some money for operating expenses, which they don't like to do, and they had to make some cuts. But there was an essential optimism at the time. It was part of the post 9/11 moment. We will get together. We will do things that we don't want to do because we have to, but it will work out in the end. The clip that I heard at the top of the segment sure sounded different. I mean, was that the mood yesterday?
It was, and I think that there were hundreds of activists and paid lobbyists that converged on City Hall waiting for word. I guess it was supposed to be at 8:45 p.m. It rolled into like 9:15. And there was tremendous disappointment once they saw the details. What was also interesting and instructive is there's this traditional tableau in more flush times. You would have every council member, you know, the 50 in addition to the speaker, lined up behind for the class picture behind the mayor, another great budget where everyone's a winner. Last night, there were only 17 council people behind the speaker and the mayor. So that's indicative of
the circumstances. They literally didn't want to get behind it.
Well, exactly. And I think there may have been other political engagements that were going on. But clearly, this is a situation where we have the mayor, of course, term limited it out. All of the council people, many of them are in their second term looking for that next job. So we have this national moment of anxiety. And then, you know, also let's not forget last week's news story, the city council finance scandal. We have a pending federal investigation where there have been two indictments already of council staffers. So there is, like I say, scarcity and anxiety. Oh, joy.
Let's talk about the property tax cut for a moment. Now, this is the second, second part of the property tax cut. And yet there must have been talk in, you know, this kind of troubled times about suspending that or perhaps not sending out the $400 rebates. What was the talk of that?
I think that you have to keep in mind that what is happening in the national economy is the 1-2 punch of an unprecedented foreclosure crisis and a run-up of oil, and then speculators making hay of all of it. And so here locally, what does that mean? It means that people are concerned in government about destabilizing neighborhoods. We're already starting to see foreclosed homes starting to have an impact on the resale value of the folks that are managing to stay in their homes. So what they did not want to do was be in the position of adding a scintilla of additional pressure on homeowners already having a terrible time. And they thought, by keeping the property tax down and keeping spending flat, I mean, they're below the rate of inflation to give them credit. The only problem is what begins to happen here is that when government cuts back, it kind of reinforces the recessionary trends. For instance, the mayor announced that they're going to stretch out the capital program, which is the construction, really the future of New York. They're going to take what took 4 years and do it in 5 years. And so all those things begin to have an effect of slowing down whatever recovery might happen.
What about some of the other things that were talked about? Libraries, community centers, you know, the popular community
libraries
programs.
Libraries made it. The six-day initiative is still in place. But here's the thing to keep in mind. The best case scenario, what people are really hoping for, is they don't have to have a downward reduction of the budget mid-year. And if revenue numbers decline, they're going to have to do that. And that's going to be problematic.
There was clearly a moment some decades ago, the sort of Ford to New York drop-dead moment, where the city was absolutely desperate and sort of, you know, ended up trying to basically, you know, it ended up mostly raising taxes to try to keep itself going.
Giving up its sovereignty, too. There was a lot of issues, right?
And, you know, which precipitated this, you know, sort of, you know, cycle in New York of everybody feeling that New York City was too taxed, businesses were moving out, residents were moving out. Was there any sense last night around City Hall that this city is sort of poised for a moment like that?
No, there's a sense that they need to have the courage to be fiscally austere ahead of the curve. The mayor went on to some degree talking about the mindset of the 70s, where there was a kind of false optimism that these deficits that they had projected back then wouldn't materialize. Now today, he seems to have, at least in the person of Christine Quinn and a number of other key council people, people who have a little bit of political courage and are willing to say, we need to make the hard choices. And, you know, the other thing they're dealing with is the police got their arbitration award, which was, you know, 8%, 9%, 10% additional pay. Now all the uniform services can come back and renegotiate. That looks like $1 billion that they'll have to fund additional money for. So it's in a situation like that. Now, one of the things that there was a little upset within the council because Councilman Lou Fiedler came up with the idea of a hotel tax. The idea that we could benefit from that low dollar. We know a lot of European tourists and tourists from all over the world are taking advantage of our ever-sliding dollar to come here to vacation. Councilman Fiedler's idea is add 1% to the hotel tax. They won't miss it. They'll probably pay it in euros. But the mayor didn't want to go there yet. And I don't know, later on he said last night, we may have to go there.
He doesn't want to do anything that could be perceived as lowering tourism. On the other hand, the dollar at historic lows, I'm not even sure anybody would notice it if they're coming from Europe. Bob, we have to wrap up this segment.
Thanks
WNYC's
so much.
Bob Henley has been covering the New York City budget. You can continue to hear his coverage on WNYC AM 820, 93.9, and online at wnyc.org. When we come back, we'll continue to talk about happiness.